H-Town, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I am the Ultimate Fan, and you are on the Ultimate Fan Experience. I today have a guest that I've been wanting to have come on here since I've started. Greg Grissom, the president of the Houston Texans, has given me a moment of his time to ask him a few questions, let him know how much we love him, how much he's doing a good job. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Greg Grissom.
What's going on, Ultimate?
Let's do this.
Let's do it, man. Congrats on building this.
Thank you very much.
And excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And it is an exciting moment for you because I have some great questions. We're going to get into it, man, to get, you know, find out a little bit about what makes Greg tick.
Well, I'm not sure what that is, but let's find out.
All right. Let's start with the relationships, Texans.
Sure.
You've been here since the beginning.
Correct.
I mean, you've worked your way up, you know. Janitorial. No, I'm kidding.
Close,
right? So let's tell us a little bit about how it started for you.
No, I had an opportunity to come to the Texans in January of 2002. So about 8 months before we ever played our first game, about a month before the expansion draft. Right. And started out, was kind of had a background prior to this, worked for the Astros for a bit, worked for Enron, if you
there
remember
you
Enron doing sports marketing.
Yeah.
And came on our partnership, sponsorship sales, advertising sales, as I was the most junior person of the team of three at the time. And, you know, long story short, just through a series of opportunities over the years, kind of grew into a leadership role about 10 years into the organization, call it 2011, 2012, overseeing that partnerships group.
Okay.
So what that really means is, so when you see, you know, HEB, the official grocery store, the Texans, or Tailgate Headquarters, or any of those types of relationships, or relationship with Texas Children's Hospital, Houston Methodist, or Ford, I was intimately involved in creating those partnerships and try to make them valuable for those companies, but also valuable for our fans and what they could do in the community and support the organization. And, you know, a few other roles kind of through the 2000 teens, I guess,
right.
Or whatever the, you know, that was
the
called. And then had an opportunity about 3 years ago to step into this role, you know, grateful for the McNairs for their trust and here we are. But I always like to say, I kind of have a line. I said, I'm my 12-year-old self getting paid to go to football games.
How great
and
is that, right?
It's, you know, I'm living a dream and
absolutely.
I mean that sincerely and it's a lot of fun.
Well, a question before we get in, a little question, and it kind of just popped in my head. I was like, differences, working for Kyle and working for Bob. What are the differences between, you know, father-son kind of?
Well, I mean, I think obviously they're different people, but they're a lot more similar than they are different, I would say. You know, they're both like the road less traveled, right?
Okay.
We have a phrase internally that I think is from Cal. And that I think is very similar to the way Bob built his business, which is challenge everything. And you know, push things forward, think things differently. If you look at Bob's career, the way he built his business, the way he, you know, brought the Texans back,
right.
You know, there were a lot of people telling him he couldn't do it. A lot of people say he shouldn't do it. And he always found a way. And I think Cal is very similar to that. You know, I'm trying to think of a difference. I mean, I think stylistically they're very, very similar.
Bob was more outspoken.
Kyle's
kind of the quiet.
Well,
you know, gentle giant is kind of how I take.
Well,
take Kyle,
yeah, right? I think people are getting to know Cal.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that I think I'm excited about is our fans are getting to know him in some way, shape, or form, and who he really is.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, you're learning about how he loves to you know, to cook out.
Yeah,
and
he's
grill
like a
and
grilling
also,
champ.
And so, but I mean, you might say Bob. Was a little more outgoing, but I really don't think so. I think it's more about how you get to know them as who they are and let them be their true selves. And
maybe
and
it was just the way Bob came out first.
Well,
you know, but he
I mean,
had to come
he
out
he
like
had
that,
he
know?
Had to, you know, he had to go bring the franchise back.
Right.
And I know Cal or Bob and Janice and their entire family were intimately involved in making all that happen.
Yeah. So being with the team as long as you have, you've got to have some really cool memories of things that have happened. You know, give me a couple of your top two or three things that you're like, man, this was a moment in time where, you know, I was glad I was there to witness this, and it was an experience that, you know, maybe helped mold you into the president that you are
now.
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting question. This weekend might have been Hall of Fame weekend. I'm not sure when this will be air, but having an opportunity to be a part of that was something I'll never forget. And getting to know Andre, honestly, I've gotten to know him more since he retired than when he played. But getting to know him as a human being and what he really represents, and then just seeing the respect that all of his teammates and our fan base have for who he is as a person and a player. But if I go back, you know, I'm trying to think of there's so many little memories. One of the things I love best is I get a chance that, and so this isn't one particular, but every game I get, I have a spot on the corner. It's actually opposite of you. It's over by our friends, Bobble Texan, and
over by the tunnel,
by the tunnel. And I just stand and kind of watch kickoff and watch the game. And I just always reminded and kind of take myself a moment to say, look what I get to be a part of.
Right.
And so kind of back to that 12-year-old kid is just trying to remind myself that this is awesome. And you know, there are days it's a job like anything else. But those moments, and I think back to first playoff game, sitting in my office watching Tennessee beat Jacksonville, meaning we had a home playoff game, and just kind of sitting there by myself going, wow, how cool is this?
Here we go.
In a week, we're about to put on a show. And
boy,
so
did
there's
we.
So many little things probably, but things like that where you're just kind of soaking in a moment.
Yeah. And, you know, this weekend, a couple of things that I found out, you know, I mean, being, you know, getting to walk with Andre in the parade and getting to see the love that he got from all the Houston's fans. And he was not wrong when he told, you know, the Chambers of Commerce that get ready, because the Texans are coming. They're going to show up and show out. Well, and boy, did we ever.
And there's no question. I mean, our fans, the traveling Texans, everybody that was associated, it was awesome. And the energy. And I know he felt it. You know, he's very grateful. What I loved about how when he went into the Hall of Fame, he's like, you know, this is for everybody.
Right.
This is and that's just who he is.
Right.
And I think everybody felt that this weekend.
And I had a moment too when it was you know, we started the Houston Texans chant, and of course I'd lost my voice like three times over this whole weekend. It's crazy. I barely got it back now to have this. But you know, we started the Houston Texans chant, and he looked down and he looked right at me, and I was like, dude, if you say my name, I'm crying right now. And, you know, he kind of paused, and I was like, all right, we're cool. We'll get past this moment or whatever and get through it. And then hearing JJ say, you know, when Andre whispered, people just shut up to listen. And it really is true, man. I mean, he's, you know, watching him in the round table and how he talks and everything he says, it seems like it's with purpose, you know, and that's what I like about Andre.
And I think that's the way he's been early on. And, you know, he's told stories about how Kubiak challenged him to kind of speak to the team and some of those things. So he's had to grow into that. But what's unique, you know, maybe not unique, but I think is awesome about it is that's who he really is.
Yeah.
And what everybody sees is the authentic Andre Johnson man, we couldn't be more proud to have him represent us in the Hall of Fame. Man, I mean, how cool is that?
I mean, just to watch, you know, the video of him putting the bust on there and hearing the guys talk about it, the fact this is the first year that they actually let the players put the bust on the shelf.
Right.
And to know that once it's on the shelf, it'll never be touched again.
Nope.
You know, it won't be moved. It don't, you know, they don't swipe it off to clean it or anything like that. It stays in the position they put it in. And I was like, when I watched him put it in there, because I actually got to the hall. I got to go twice to the hall. And the first time I took a picture without it there. And I was like, man, to know it's coming, you know?
Right.
And then Sunday, yesterday before we left, I went and I saw it and I was like, there it is.
It's now.
It's
there. We're represented forever. And what he will say, it's the entire city of Houston and every Texans fan.
It is. And I'm so proud to be a Houston Texan. So.
Yeah. Well, it's probably recent, but there's so many great moments. This weekend has to be up to, you know, if
it
not
is,
the top,
it's
very
the
top.
The pinnacle
now,
for me right
we
now.
We want to hold up that trophy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we're
all
working at
that.
So hopefully we got a little head room. And Andre will be right there with us for that too.
For sure. For sure. You know, my people came together and we got a few questions, and I you're just the man I want to stump. I'm hoping I stump you with at least
all
one
right,
or two
let's,
of these.
Well,
we'll see
we got a little Texans trivia here.
We got a little Texans trivia here. We'll see where it goes with
I
it.
I hope
know?
I I generally like my chances, but I don't know the question, so yeah, I'm a little nervous.
You know what I mean? To tell you the truth, there was a couple of that I was like, ooh, I might not know this
all
one.
Right.
It's good. Well, I'm glad I've got the answers in front of me.
What do I get to, if I don't know it? Do I just get to tap out? Is that
you
how this works?
Out. Right. I mean, it's okay. We're not going to hold it against you.
All right.
Nobody's
all right.
perfect,
okay,
right?
Okay, all right.
All right. So let's start. What city did the Houston Texans beat out for the 32nd team in the NFL in 2002?
That's Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Well, I wasn't going to start off with just
hit you,
but we'll get you. Who were the first two Pro Bowlers for the Houston Texans?
Oh, let's see. Andre Johnson and Gary Walker. If I'm not, or not Andre Johnson, Aaron Glenn and Gary Walker.
Oh, there he goes. He comes back, ladies and gentlemen.
My bad. A little recovery. I had
we're on the Andre thing.
Because I was thinking about Andre, but yeah, Andre was later on. But yeah,
he was.
Gary Walker and Aaron Glenn, great representatives. And Aaron now doing great in Detroit.
Yes, yes. So which two Super Bowls have been hosted by the Houston Texans franchise?
Well, it was Super Bowl 38, where the Patriots beat the Panthers.
Yes.
Adam Vinatieri, game-winning kick. I may or may not have a little piece of that turf from
right?
piece of the grass from right where he kicked the ball in my my little collection from after the game. The,
right.
the day after went down on the field. And then you have the Super Bowl 51, where the Patriots won again in dramatic fashion over the Falcons.
Why do the Patriots always seem to win?
Yeah, well,
we're going to change that, right?
We're going to figure that out soon.
I think we got it figured out.
Got to go to work today,
coach.
Though, right?
Yeah.
You gotta, it's all a day-by-day
right,
thing.
Absolutely. Let's see. How many winning seasons have the Houston Texans had?
Oh. Let's see. I think we've had eight.
Good job, man. Nice.
I know it's six divisions.
Right.
Or seven divisions, I guess. And then I know there was a 9-7 in there. I think we didn't make the playoff or didn't win the division. Something like
that. I think we were having trouble stumping the other day, man. Who was the first of eight starting quarterbacks for Bill O'Brien's tenure for the Texans?
I think it was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Man, there is no stumping him because I was like, I don't think I even got that one right. But
Ryan was a great story about Ryan. I think this got out, but I actually knew some friends. He after games he would go and play touch football on his street with the neighborhood kids.
That's awesome.
And I know he's doing great now, doing some stuff for Amazon. But a great guy.
Absolutely, we love Fitzy, man. Fitzy's great. Name the player who caught the reception in overtime that set up the game-winning field goal versus the Bills in the 2019 wild card game.
Oh gosh. As a running back, I can see the play. I'm tapping out on that one. God,
Tuan Jones.
There we go. Yeah. Well, as a running back, a little throwing across the field.
It's
and
still.
And,
I mean, you got a running back on there. I mean, not to hit the name. I mean, you got to get give you a couple stars
all
for
right.
that one.
That's a good one. I may have to come back to that one.
Will Anderson Jr. won Defensive Rookie of the Year last season. Name the other two Texans players to win that award.
Cushing won that award, and let's see, rookie. So I know Cushing won it. Mario didn't win it, I don't think. So I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm tapping out on that one, too.
It's Cap himself.
There we go.
You know,
I should have known that.
Ryans.
I should have. Well, that was an easy one just sitting right there.
I was hoping you were just going to knock that one out of the park, right?
33rd pick, 2006. Yeah. You know, we actually got there were a bunch of guys this
week.
See,
now he's just throwing answers out to show what he knows, ladies and gentlemen.
I should have known that one. That's all me, right?
Right? Hey, can't get them all, like I said. But, hey, you got that one. So I'm sure Cap will bust you for that one a little bit. But we'll see what happens, right? CJ threw for 470 yards against Tampa Bay, which was one of the greatest games I got to see. I mean, 47 seconds, The third in franchise history. Who holds the top two spots?
For total yards thrown?
Yeah.
For one of them, Schaub, I would think. You're talking about quarterbacks that threw for most yards in a single game?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say –
You got it right. Sean holds the top two spots.
Yeah, because I was thinking he.
You got it right. Yeah, I mean, there was a gap.
Is one of them the game in Green Bay? Do you have which one?
I don't have down here which one it was, but yeah, I think it was Green Bay.
One of those, I knew he threw for over 400 yards in a game at Green Bay, minus 3 degrees that we won.
Okay.
On a last second field goal. So, but that nobody thought we could go play in the cold weather, and I think we showed up that day.
Right. That's usually what happens. Well. Man, you knocked it out of the park, man. I was like,
all right.
I thought there was a couple of them that was going to stump you, but the ones I thought stump you, you blew them out of the water, man.
You know, so, again, my wife would say that, yeah, I guess, or I have a lot of knowledge up there that's taken up space that maybe should be focused on other things, but who knows?
And my wife just says mine's empty up there, yeah, so well, I mean, that's better. So
I think they're probably both right to some degree.
Man, it's been an awesome episode, and I got a little section here where I like to, you know, show people of the experience that's coming up and, you know, what they have to look forward to. We know there's been some changes in the rules of the game. I think a lot of people saw it in the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think people were surprised that I think I heard this, oh, we're going to the XFL rules kind of thing, you know, but it's not just XFL rules. It's safety. You know, it's like these guys are doing, you know, things to make these players be able to not just be safer, but be able to play longer. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I think kickoff rules are really interesting rule. What the league's trying to do, and I give them a tremendous amount of credit, they're trying to make sure that the kickoff stays in the game, that the kick or the foot stays in the game. And so this is a one-year test that they're doing that is really trying to put that play back in and make it relevant. I think well over 80% of the kicks last year were touchbacks.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, that's not, that play is not, that's not a relevant play in a game. So, it, you know, a lot of people do say the XFL rules or some other things. It is a little different. You know, there's some differences. The XFL rule only had one player back. This requires to have two players back. So they're hoping to make it more viable so the kickers can't kick away from people. So they're, that, again, to incentivize the return, well, and to incentivize returns and making sure that, and it is about safety, right? You're wanting to do all of that in a safe way, and so you're reducing the speed of the players by the way that it's lined up, so they're closer together, and it's more like a scrimmage play. So I think, you know, the league's really, really good at kind of taking a decision like this and then watching it play out and then adapting. And I think that's what you'll see with this play is, you know, there'll be a lot of key learnings over the season, and whether they make any changes in the season or after the season to make it, to get to that safe way to get that, keep that play in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be interesting as, you know, preseason special team coordinators aren't going to show a whole lot.
Right.
Coach Ross isn't going to show his
hand.
Everything
on. No, of course not.
And so I think I would just maybe encourage fans just to kind of give it a little time and get to the regular season, because I do think it has a really good chance of bringing back that excitement back into the game.
Right. What other rules are you seeing? I'm trying to think. There's the slide tackle or the drag down.
They have the hip drop
the
tackle.
Hip drop. Yeah,
and again, this I don't know the exact statistics, but it's a significantly more when that tactic or is used to tackle people, the increase in injuries was significantly more than any other tackles, and so. And I think the league's done a good job over the last few years where they see something like that, and really what they're trying to do is just change the player's mindset.
Right.
And so I don't think you'll see it flagged a whole lot. I think that you'll see them use fines and things of that nature just to make the player – I'm not saying it won't
make
be at all,
aware.
But it's kind of like the horse collar tackle or similar things like that. And then over time, the players adapt and it goes out of the game, and it's a safer game that we all know and love. So I think you'll see that. I think they've kind of changed some nuances around some of the trying to make it more clear around the intentional grounding. And so you know, I give the league – they're always trying to get better.
Yeah.
They, you know, and sometimes change is hard, but it's always how do we progress the game forward.
Yeah, I agree. So we're seeing some new rules.
Mm-hmm.
What can – in the fan experience – can we see changing this year for, you know, going to the games, things like that? What can the fans expect to see different that they haven't seen in the past years?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we'll have our typical things that we do around whether it's concession partners that we're always evolving. We're trying to do some different things just, you know, way ticketing of all, always working on parking.
Right.
I think we're going to see some less construction over the course of the year around
it.
But I mean, maybe let me – here's what I want the fans to do different.
Okay.
And we're going to – you're going to see us try to change this culture, if you will, which is get in the building early. And
yeah.
So you're going to see us, you know, fire fireworks off from the right. top of the stadium to remind folks to get in. We love the tailgating. It's yeah. awesome. But let's get in and support our team. You're going to see us all the things that we do outside the stadium as people are coming in. You're going to see us shut all that down 30 minutes prior to kick to,
good.
Again, to encourage people to come into the stadium. Yeah. You're going to see us communicate around, hey, when you should be in the parking lot. It's kind of a yellow or green, yellow, red type system that, hey, you should be in the parking lots like this time.
Right.
You should be at the gates by this time.
You
to
should
be
in
your
the
seats.
Because seat.
What we're trying to do is to educate our fans that the team really needs you.
Absolutely.
And it's not what you can get by being in early. It's what you can give and be part of the environment. And our team, it matters. And
yeah.
in Houston, and I, you know, it's we've had our challenges at the Texans, but I don't think it's just us and
no.
other professional sports teams.
Right, right.
For whatever reason, Houston has a culture of being late.
Right.
And we're going to try to hit that head on and say and try to communicate in a way that helps people understand why it matters that
right.
they're in their seats before for team introductions and what they can do to really help us win. Mm. So I think you're going to we're going to try some things around
yeah.
preseason, but by the Bears Sunday night football game, look for
right.
us to be hitting it hard just
right.
to be in your seats early as much as we right. possibly can.
And in the fans' defense, man, we do throw a hell of a tailgate.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, is I've had some fans ask me to open tailgate longer, and it's,
right.
we'll think about that,
right.
but we're just trying to, like, if you really think about it, like, if
yeah.
you're in the yellow lot,
yeah.
it takes 15 minutes to walk there. So you,
yeah.
you need to be prepared. We're doing things to – so, for example, we've learned that, you know, through mobile ticketing, some people don't always have their tickets ready. And
right.
so we're going to be very aggressive with staff, helping people make sure that they have their tickets ready when they get
right.
to the scanner so that they can get through quicker. So how do we reduce all the barriers to get you in early?
Right.
And then we just need our fans to just speed up their timeline and everything that they do.
I know that I was once, at a time there, I would travel to the yellow lot, and I was like, man, it'd be nice to have like a little shuttle system.
Yeah, well, we've actually,
whatever.
Believe it or not, we've looked at that. I think it with traffic patterns and
yeah.
things of that nature, it would hurt more than it would help. But and if somebody needs assistance,
right.
we have that available. But
absolutely.
Really, it's just, hey,
get
know,
in the stadium,
get, just,
ladies and gentlemen.
If you have that,
I'm in the stadium
yeah,
before the first kickoff.
Yeah,
why can't you be?
Well,
right?
It's really so that it's be in the stadium at least be in your seat
right.
at least 15 minutes prior to kick.
Right.
So
agreed.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. So I'd like to know this. It's cool when you get new guys like you get Nick in here
mm-hmm.
and you get DeMeco. What would you say your relationship with those guys are, not only like, draft night and things
sure.
like that, but through the season? I mean,
because,
yeah. I mean, you guys got to work well together. I mean, unless
no
if
question.
You guys aren't working well together, the team's not working
right.
well
and
together.
So, what I do really is oversee the business side of it. So,
mm-hmm.
and really try to make sure that the fans are connected to us, whether it's how we position ourselves, things like all our marketing. I know
right.
you've had Doug on from our the revenue that we need to have
Doug
the resources that we need. So, and in some ways, and their job is to make sure
right.
we have a great football team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do work well together. We really are always trying to understand what's important to them. What type of environment do they need to create to help us win? Because
right.
as much as we can do other things on the business side, we're here to win football games
absolutely.
First and foremost. And so, and that's important to the McNairs. That's what we're all about is being champions. And so, we do have a relationship. We work together. So part of my role is to understand what's important to them and to make sure that we can run and operate our business and protect that and then enhance
cool.
things. So, for example, there's certain themes that they really want the team to be about, right?
Right.
And so you'll see, for example, our social media group kind of enhancing those themes so that we're speaking in one voice. Or, hey, the players, we need to do some things from a fan perspective or otherwise, but can we do it at this time that's best with them? So there's just a lot of collaboration, and we're all after the same thing, which is being a champion and holding up that trophy. So a lot of communication back and forth. There's a couple of folks that they have around them that we work through as well that kind of protect their schedule so that
mm-hmm.
they can be focused on what's most important, and we're proud to work with those guys as well.
Yeah. As president, I think even me being a fan, I've interacted with you more than I, you know, than I have with any president of any team of, you know, any of the players that are friends that I know that are fans of other teams. I can say, man, you're there. I mean, you're asking us questions, and you're like, hey, how's this going? You know, how was your walk in? You know,
right.
You know, how was the drive in? You know, what's traffic like out there? Like, you're a minute to minute guy. You know, you're like wanting to know what's going on, what's working, what's not working. So, as a fan, I appreciate that. But you know, what is like your fan interaction? What is your?
I love it. I call it and this fan oxygen, because the energy. And the passion that you guys have for our organization, it's literally like air that we breathe. Right? And I would say, like training camp, you know, we've got so many people, so many of our teammates that work so hard, and then when they see all the excitement and the energy come to life, it really is why we do what we do. Yes, we like to be part of winning teams and all those types of things, but just to see a, you know, a father and a son, or a mom and a daughter, or, you know, who knows how that is, those interactions and just the experience that we can all create. It's awesome. And so for me, it goes back to that 12-year-old self, is how do I remember that? And then what the fun part for me is, I get to kind of unlock and enable that and give those experiences. And then, you know, it's always been a hallmark of the organization to listen to our fans. But in the last couple of years, we wanted to, and this is Cal and Hannah, just, hey, it's all about the fans. What can we do? What do we listen? That's where we created the fan council. And, you know, as you know, some of those meetings
aren't
sunshine and ponies,
right?
We're getting some feedback, but we want to be better. And so the only way you can be better is to listen and to ask questions. And do you be willing to maybe take some feedback and some criticism about how we things. And most of the time we kind of have a sense, but a lot of times you guys will give us very specific things that we need to think about to get better. And so I love it. I mean, this past week and just being around everybody and just, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And it's a fun part of the job that I really, really value.
I felt more part of this team than even growing up and being a fan of another team, you know, like this has been an interaction with you and, you know, Nick is always, you know, every time I see him, he's out and about, you know, he's hard to catch.
Yeah.
Cause the dude's quick.
Yeah. He is quick. He's fast, but
he's fast and out in a hurry, but
he and D'Amico, I mean, D'Amico obviously played here. So he knows what it's like, but we're nothing without the fan base, right? Nobody, I mean, to some degree, we got to experience that during COVID. That was not any fun. And so there's, you don't want to, you really, it's what makes the whole thing work together. And, you know, even your role and what you do, you know, for our fan base and just, I mean, I'm like, get it to Ultimate. Let's go.
Let's go.
I mean, I think in the game the other night, you were rocking and rolling.
I saw those people start to sit in the stadium. I'm like, dude, there's a couch at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if it's preseason or not. Our boys are on the field. Let's support them.
And when you get that energy right in the building, like it was for the playoff game, there's nothing like it.
It's like a drug. You want to get it again. You want to make it pop like that again.
Correct.
So,
but that's 70,000 people working together, cheering on their team,
In the stadium early.
Yeah, been to say 15 minutes prior to team introductions, be in your seat.
Right.
Which probably means you need to be in the stadium by like an hour before.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I mean, and like you said, you're going to have stuff for us. One last thing before we go, man. I've had people ask me, and I mean, why not ask you about it? The roof. What are we going to do?
What about what you're talking about with the damage or long term?
The long term situation would be a long conversation.
So I answer this kind of maybe quickly in two ways. Is number one, obviously we had some damage from the hurricane,
right?
In partnership with the Harris County, the Harris County Sports and Convention Corporation, NRG Park, the Houston Livestock Show, and Rodeo. I think we'll have a solution that kind of takes care of that in the near term, and maybe not a permanent solution, but let's just say by the Jags game, so week two, so we're kind of managing our way through there. Preseason games, we may have a bit of a hole in the roof, and then long term, you know, there's a lot of work being done, led by Harris County, led by the Harris County Sports and Convention Corp, which is really our landlord for those that don't know. And then us and the rodeo are tenants in the building, and we're all working collaboratively to do a long term kind of what is the vision for NRG Park, NRG Stadium? What should it look like? What could it look like? And hopefully, you know, sometime in the relative near future, you know, I don't know exactly what that means, but we're all working very well together to see if we can come up with, to kind of reimagine NRG Park, NRG Stadium for the future, and excited about those conversations.
Very cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, man. Getting to talk with Greg is always a plus for me. Greg, thanks for coming on the show, man, and coming on the Ultimate Fan Experience.
We appreciate it, Ultimate. Thanks for all you do, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
H is up. Go Texans,
baby.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all next week.